we should get to a certain level of stability, both in business profitability and personal income, that allows and warrants the benefit and the good parts that come with having a dedicated team member to help run your business.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the Millennial Dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. I feel like it'd be pretty sweet to do a sports center themed. Hey, I hope you're having an awesome day, awesome time. I feel like I'm in a good season, good day here. I'm super pumped about this episode. We're going to dive into like what I like call like the transfer of authority. So, you know, common thing that comes up is I need an office manager. I think I've grown. We need a director of operations. Like this idea that I've got to transfer leadership. What does leadership look like? And when, how, who, what, where, why do we need to make this happen? So this is kind of what we're going to talk about today. But I'm super excited because I think it's a very fitting thing. Now, what I will tell you is most likely you're not going to like what I hear, because the spoiler is that ultimately leadership, you can only delegate so much leadership as the dentist in the business, whether you're an associate or an owner, you could only delegate so much leadership. So kind of let's just jump into the story, I guess, and how what we've done, what we've seen and the path we've had and what I'm seeing works with doctors and whatnot. So I came into, you know, my dad's practice in 2015, and he had a team of about 8 people, and he didn't really have an office manager. You know, he kind of was the one, and my dad was of that era that, like, you know, for better or for worse, he kind of was he tried to really track his expenses, and so, you know, to make sure that he was profitable and all those things. He did not look at numbers at all, and so he didn't really have a real good idea on the analytics of the practice. He never looked at, like, the P&L. He just tried to be cheap, so to speak. And honestly, that's a bad thing. Don't hear me wrong. But if you don't understand the numbers or the things on a global business scale, it's difficult to make good analytical decisions. You make more emotional decisions. So instead of buying some, you know, he would try to look for the cheapest place to buy something, maybe despite that it was more work, more time, et cetera. So what that did was set him up, and he was very afraid to let go of anything. That's a very normal doctor thing, right? Like this is your baby, this is your career. And so my dad was writing, and remember, this is a long time ago, but not that long ago, but it makes me laugh. I love you, Dad, if you're listening to this episode. My dad was cutting checks at payroll. Like, literally, the team members would come and wait at his door because there was no digital payroll system, and they would have to wait on payday for him to, like, print off all the checks, sign them, and hand them their paychecks so they could then go deposit them at the bank. Like, that was the aura of what I mean. He did all the buying himself. You know, like, there would be sticky notes all over his desk of products that we need to order, and then he would go and search that. Meanwhile, this is a clinician, right, that has a skill set of third molars, Lanap, cosmetic dentistry. Like, his time is worth a lot of money. Yet a lot of times we will jump over dollars to save pennies. So that's kind of the mentality that was having. So then, like, I come in and I'm like, okay, well, maybe we need an office manager, right? That was what I would hear and I would see people do, is they'd, like, a lot of these things that my dad was doing were getting delegated down to an office manager. Now, what really I think happens here is that we don't have a good term or title in our industry for it. And so we just term this person who's on some level more like a personal assistant or like an accounting bookkeeper into this title of office manager. So that the roles that really started to get delegating out are like, okay, ordering inventory, running errands, booking my travel, you know, running payroll. And I started looking at these things as like, this seems silly to hire a person and pay them like what an office manager would cost to book my flights to CE or to run the payroll. Like, there's got to be a better way to do that. So, and I think the challenge there is like, we also think that they're going to, by somehow having this office manager, that now they're going to take on a role of now dealing with the drama of the practice. Like, I'm no longer going to have to intervene and be like, fire people, hire people. And you can hire these people to do these things, but you're delegating something that, in my opinion, at that point is really leadership and authority that you're going to have to carry for some time. And again, these decisions need to be based off the analytics. So like, if I think about, okay, what does my team look like as I grow a practice? I'm the doctor, right? I'm going to need I need someone at the front office. I need a hygienist. I need an assistant. Like, those are kind of my three integral team members. My fourth one I'm hiring is a treatment coordinator, a dedicated treatment coordinator, a closer. Like, why would I wait to hire a closer? The closer will perpetuate the need for second assistant. Eventually, hygiene kind of is its own thing, is its own provider. It's based off a little bit of demand of patients, which you got. So then maybe you hire another hygienist. But this office manager title, this office manager need, really, in my opinion, doesn't need to come into play until you start to get into 12, 13, 14, multiple doctors. Like, that there's actually things to manage in the practice. And so that's a hard thing for a lot of people to hear, because you're a dentist, and you're trying to make it, you're one doc, you've got a team of seven people, and you're like, I got my office manager, I need my office manager. And on some level, they are a glorified front office person that maybe runs your payroll, books your travel, et cetera. And you're paying them an arm and a leg for stuff that really you, in my opinion, you should be doing at that point until you kind of earn the right to get to the point where you can afford to pay for that person. Because one of our benchline analytics that we look at is team payroll relative to overall collections. So, and what we want to see that number at is, we believe that for a healthy general practice, fee for service needs to be close to 20%, PPO practice needs to be close to 25%. Now, the gurus and everything will tell you that, hey, we're starting to get more towards 25 and 30%, but I don't want to see you above 30% ever on the line of what your team payroll total cost. Now, what's included in team total payroll cost? That's going to be what you run through ADP or Payworks or whatever that is. It's going to be whatever's included in their retirement that you put in for them. Uniforms, anything, health insurance, CE, anything that goes towards team compensation over a year should not go more than 30% of your overall top line collection. So if you do $1 million in a year, your team portion should be below total compensation, payroll tax, all that stuff should be below $300,000. That's a really good benchmark to judge the health of your profitability without getting into the overall overhead. So if you don't have a good idea of what that number is, that's a great place to start, is to go back and look and say, okay, let's look at 2024, 2023 probably, and look at it from a year standpoint. Let's look at top line collections and let's look at total team compensation. Again, this can't just be what's payroll. It's total team compensation. If that number is above 30%, you've got a problem. The last thing you need to be doing is hiring people. Now, you may be underproducing. Like, then we have to decide, we have to have a whole other question, which is a whole other podcast. Are we underproducing? Are we over-teamed? Because if you're a solo doc and you do $200,000 a month and your numbers aren't in check, then you're probably over-teamed or you're overpaying. Because it's not like you can go produce $250,000, $300,000. Like, at some point, if you don't need to produce anymore. Now, if you're that same scenario and you only produce $75,000 as a practice, I'll tell you it's not a team compensation issue. This is a production issue. You're underproducing. So you kind of got to look at that and decide that. So all this comes back to say that if your numbers aren't in check, then you can't even afford on some level you haven't earned the right to have this person to do these things. So then kind of looking back on my trajectory. So what would happen is what I did start to do is I started to see leaders in the practice start to develop. I like to call these like my ride or dies, right? The people that like naturally as you're implementing things, they catch on. They're on message, they're on brand, they represent the culture and the way you want to do things. I started giving them more responsibility. I didn't change titles. Most of the time, it didn't come with a significant increase in pay. it came with a significant increase in respect and autonomy, meaning that like we started delegating out some of the inventory ordering within reason, where I'm and it delegation member is delegating, but also following up and keeping accountability. You can't just delegate it to somebody and then not look at it. That's abdication. So we started delegating some of that. Then I started delegating, we kind of started developing Aubrey, who ultimately has become our director of operations. We started delegating certain things to her, right? Certain tasks about the business. Hey, can you reach out to these people, set up this meeting? Can you be involved in this meeting? We're going to have a meeting with the website company, marketing company, a new software company. Can you be involved in these things? Again, there's no title change. There's none of that. The office manager title, which I hate, by the way, that's why I chose director of operations, that is a title that should be 1,000% earned. If you're a team member or you're like, it should be earned. And a lot of you, what sucks is you inherited the title. You bought a practice that already had an office manager, and they're not an office manager. They're a personal assistant, or they're a front office person. And so we've got to somehow find a way to remove that title or get rid of that person. But that title has got to be earned. So what I will tell you is Aubrey was acting into, my team leaders acted as team leaders way before they got a title. Aubrey acted like a director of operations way before she got the title. She learned to do everything. She was involved in those things. And so it should come in that order. So I was having this conversation, which is why I wanted to do a podcast with one of our mastermind docs. Like, I think I'm ready for an office manager. And I knew he was 1,000% not ready for an office manager. One, I don't think he can afford it. Two, I think that there's a significant challenge in that the tasks he wants to delegate are tasks that like, at some point, this comes with owning a business, dealing with disgruntled patients, for example. Like, I'm not going to hire a $50,000 employee, $60,000 employee, end up for the 20 times that I got to deal with somebody that's pissed off. This is what you signed up for. It's not easy. Like, I love you guys, but that's the tough love. It's like, until you, and so you got to decide. If I'm in a practice in growth mode, do I want to hire somebody to do tasks that I could do and waste that compensation on something that I could be doing? Or would I rather spend that money on somebody that does something that brings value to increase the production of the growth of the practice? Now, I'm not saying you can't delegate some of these roles out, but I'm saying that you need a dedicated treatment coordinator before you need a dedicated office manager. That doesn't mean they can't do some level of both things initially, but I use the word dedicated because that's where people tend to thrive. What kills you all's team members is they get spread way too thin. And this happens the most in the front office. We spread people way too thin. And so then they're a jack of all trades, ace of none, or they're really like a seven of hearts of all trades, ace of none. So I said, I started asking, okay, so tell me, what does an office manager look like to you? So that's what I want you to write down first is you kind of basically got to outline what is an office manager actually look like? What are the tasks that I think this person's going to do? And if you write them down and you're like, all these things that I've listed so far, I would tell you that you don't need one. You're not ready for one. You haven't on some level earned the right to one. We should get to a certain level of stability, both in business profitability and personal income that allows and warrants the benefit and the good parts that come with having a dedicated team member to help run your business. Because that's really what this gets down to is an office manager, in my opinion, should be somebody who's daily and weekly strategizing and looking at our business through a lens of how can we be better? Where are our weak links? And then coming up with on their own and setting up meetings on their own and finding areas to save money on their own that they then bring to me, we have discussions about, and we jointly make decisions to move the practice forward. So at some point along the lines, Aubrey came to me and was like, I've now hit a wall where I struggle in moving your vision forward is you haven't transferred the autonomy and the authority for me to make my next step in leadership. And this was a really important thing because at this point I hadn't changed titles. Aubrey was on some level acting like this person, right? She had earned the right. She was already leading. She was even on some level, I think she'd even already hired somebody for us. But she did come, and at some point she was like, I need I need you all to stand behind me so that I can take my next step in growth with the team. And at some point that does come to happen. And so that's the point where we said, hey, we got to talk about three things. Because when I give you this title, three things change.
Maybe it's just two things. We'll see if I go over through one.
Number one is that you need to understand that your relationship with the team is going to change. And these are conversations you should have with your people. Your relationships are going to change because now you're going to be put in a position of there's going to be an authoritative, you're going to move up in the ladder to where it's me, it's at some level you, and then it's the rest of the team. They're going to, whether that's the reality or not, that's how they're going to look at you. And so when you start making decisions, you start meeting me, when you start hiring people, firing people, doing these things that a business leader should do, having to have tough conversations, being involved in the reviews, you're now going to be viewed less as their friend as more as their boss. That will change the dynamics. Are you ready for that? Some people aren't. Number two is you will now be held to the highest standard in the practice. When you're just doing these things for me and like, you know, you don't have the title, but when you get the title, when I go behind, stand behind you, you are held to the highest standard of anybody in the practice. Like that's the reality. The people that are the closest to me have the highest standards that we live up to. And number three, my expectation of what you know and are capable of doing is going to grow. Meaning there's going to be an expectation that you're going to continue to grow and take on more tasks and more roles beyond what you're currently doing. And so at that point, she was like, I'm ready for all three of those things. I was like, well, I don't think you totally are, but we'll go with it. And so then we had kind of what I think needs to happen, which is this like transfer of authority moment where we either at a team meeting or somewhere, I don't remember where we did it. I basically said, I want y'all to know that Aubrey's, her title is changing. She's moving into another, doing a lot of the similar stuff. She's going to take on some more roles, but she is someone that I'm going to continue to look forward to help run this practice and grow this practice to the vision that Dad and I want. And it was like different from that day on, like that conversation, that transfer of authority was really, really important to Aubrey. Now, here's what also happened. Team members left. I don't think it was members, one specifically. And I kind of knew this was going to happen. But some people don't like when someone gets that promotion or they think they should get it. And so the majority of the team was like, duh, she's been this person for forever already. But that also means that now that there's a falling in line and not everybody's going to fall in line. That's the other downside to titles. So at that point, some of the things that we did, and then the question is, okay, well, once you do this, like how long does it take effect or what kind of results do we get? But I told this person, I said, it takes some time. And honestly, what will happen is your OGs, your ride or dies, they will always be on a similar plane or platform to this person. Meaning like they will look to them, there should be a mutual respect, but like they may have gotten there before them. They may have got there at the same time. Like they can still be prominent people that have prominent roles that don't have quite the same leadership, but there's a good mutual respect. That's great. No problem there. Where it really takes effect is in the next wave of personnel that comes in. Because at this point, what we did, which I do think is important, is that I transferred the hiring and the firing process. Because the first time that Aubrey fired somebody, it was unbelievably hard for her. But the whole office, it was like, that's when the whole office really was like, oh, she's the real deal. Like she's doing that kind of stuff. And it was this, and I was involved in that. Like I was in the process, I was in the room at the time, but she was the one that like dropped the hammer. And now what takes place and what started taking place at that point was that she would then handle all the calls, right? Where we got a new ad out for a dental assistant. She would handle the calls. She would screen them initially. She would set up the interviews. They would come in. She would handle the in-person interviews. I got to play more of a casual role in that I would say, you know, tell me about yourself. Here's a little bit of our practice. You got any questions for me? And then she would go or he would go visit with the rest of the team members, meet back with Aubrey. And then I would say, it's like, what do you think? And she'd basically be like, I think we should hire him. And then usually I agree to that. I mean, I think maybe like 1 out of 10, but I was like, maybe no. And at that point, then she calls them and then she hires them. So if you're getting a phone call, not from the doctor, but now from this person hiring you, obviously when you come in with a totally different mindset of who this person is and their authority. So that's really when a lot of this started to change. And so I look back and I say, okay, well, really, it's over the past 2 years that the role of an office manager
director of operations really came into play, or she's viewed that on a very different level because of just the roles and the situations that she's into now. So kind of recapping that, what I'll tell you is, okay, I don't think we needed someone in that position until we got to probably three doctors. Three doctors, meaning not counting dad. So like, I think even you as a solo doc and an associate, you're probably borderline needing it. It can start to be helpful, but at that point, your team should be starting to approach, again, getting over at least 10 people. There's got to be something to actually manage. If you're a dentist with four team members, you don't need an office manager. You spend all day with the assistant. You spend half the time with the hygienist, and there's one front office person. They're the office manager. It just doesn't make any sense. So I hope this is helpful in kind of a couple of reasons. One, I hope what it does is squash, no offense, but I hope it squashes some of you that need or think you need an office manager. I want you to internally look and say, man, I've got to invest in my leadership. I got to listen to some podcasts that talk about leadership. I got to read some books. I got to do some things that I got to surround myself with people who I want to be like in leadership, and that you will take on the hard work, because that is the hardest work of accountability, dealing with patients and drama in the office, that you'll do these things. That you'll start to look at where can you delegate stuff? Where can you empower the team members you have? Again, I'm not against delegating things. I'm against delegating a title that hasn't been earned that should warrant some level of authority. And then I hope what you take away from this is that if you're in a position where you've done that or you're doing that, to on some level double down with what's needed from a standpoint of the transfer of authority, backing that person, and then following up and keeping that person to a high standard. You know, I'll wrap it up with this. I think one of the challenges we have now is that you get this person and then you don't have accountability with this person. This person essentially now thinks they are, we had this person in one of our office manager days the other day where it's like, I just felt like this person thinks they is their practice. And like Aubrey's a critical person, but at the end of the day, like they've got to be there's got to be weekly and monthly checks and balances to where you're auditing the process, you're keeping them accountable. That, like, I joke with her. Sometimes I have to, like, cut your knees out from under you a couple times. And, like, that's necessary. Like, I do that to my team member. Like, I love Celeste. She's my ride or die assistant. But sometimes I have to, like, put another assistant in there. Like, I'll just be like, hey, who's random today that can come do a hybrid with me? And I do that not to be an ass to Celeste, but it's important to me to remind myself on some level too, that like I could take any random person and put them in there and we will be okay. Now, gosh, I do not want that. I do not want to have to do that every day, that the value this person brings to me, but it is important to keep people in check. And team members, if you're listening to this, I don't want you to think of that in a negative way. I just think it's important that we all keep that understanding and of accountability of each other to really focus on ultimately growing and working together. Because those people, it also allows me and reminds me that I can grow those people. Some of you need to put people on the bench for a minute so you can prove someone else can do it, so you can elevate that player. That's a podcast right there. So I hope you take this stuff for what it's worth. I hope you enjoy it. And hey, remember, I'm telling y'all, 3Dentist app. Go get on the app. We're having lots of good conversation on there. Everybody work smarter and harder. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.